You want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Well, good morning. Welcome to another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. I am your host, Matt Halleck, and I am the founder of the Man Warrior King movement, the author of the book, The DNA of a Man, which I have to say has been doing way better than I had ever imagined over the last two, now 3 months. I'm just so thankful for the way that God has been using that book in the lives of men and women, actually. I've had many wives buying the book as well. I'm so thankful for what God has done in people's lives with this thing. And the stories that I've heard about how people have found out about the DNA of a man have just been so mind-blowing. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for what you guys are doing. I'm thankful that you have made a choice. If you've gone ahead and bought the book, if you've joined this movement, that you've made a choice to stand up and look darkness in the face and say, not on my watch. You will have me no more. You will have your way in my life no more. I'm thankful that you are here with me, that you are doing that alongside of me. And I'm really excited for where we are heading, all right? Because beyond the book and the different courses that you may or may not have seen available thus far, we are getting ready to launch the ranks of Adullam. And if you don't know what Adullam means, the name Adullam comes from the story in the Bible where David is running for his life and he's hiding in the cave at Adullam, whatever it says. And it's there that all the men who are broken, who are in distress, who are bitter in soul, who are in debt, the Bible says, they gather to him. And these men who are at the bottom of the barrel in society are the same men who later on in Chronicles are these fierce, valiant, dangerous, intimidating, formidable warriors who are doing ridiculous exploits that no human should be able to do. And it's because they went into the cave and got transformed. So we are getting ready to launch the ranks of Adullam, where we will be taking men through the transformation process that the DNA of a man, the book, so readily inspires so many to achieve. And there are so many of us who are feeling like, man, this is good, but how do I actually get this in me? How do I actually implement the principles in the book to actually have real life change? And so the Ranks of Adullam is going to be all about that, where we take the book and we supercharge it so that in 3 months, it's a three-month program. In 3 months, you come out the other side a completely changed, a completely different man. We're not joking around about this. We're not playing games with this. We're saying we're done and we're going after more. I'm so excited for that. You can see I'm already getting pumped, and this isn't even the podcast episode for today. I'm just putting the announcement out there because it's coming, gentlemen. But this morning, we're going to be talking out of Nehemiah chapter 5. And I'm not going to go verse by verse through it, but there's a very crazy principle involved in this chapter that we need as men. We need to get this, especially as men who are married, if you are one of those who are married. Because we fall victim to this kind of situation way too many times. And it hurts our marriages, it hurts us, it hurts our wives, and it's not how we are to conduct ourselves in these things. So, at this stage of the Nehemiah story, we have already seen Nehemiah go through a ton of resistance from all kinds of different angles, okay? Enemies from the outside, people from within, doubts, all kinds of different resistance. And now here comes another wave of resistance. And sometimes we get stuck in this place of thinking that we are supposed to finally arrive to a level of existence where the resistance is gone, and it's just not true. Okay, so I want you to look here. In Nehemiah chapter 5, it says that there arose a great outcry of the people and of their wives against their Jewish brothers. For there were those who said, "With our sons and our daughters, we are many. So let us get grain that we may eat and keep alive." So look at this. There arose a great outcry of the people and of their wives, it says, against their Jewish brothers. So if I'm Nehemiah and I'm coming from the land of Babylon and I'm coming back to my homeland, giving up everything for this mission of rebuilding the wall, I might start getting sick of all the complaining. I might start getting real tired of all the resistance, even from within my own people. And I'd be like, you know what? Fine. You people just have problem after problem after problem. It's no wonder God sent you to exile. I'm here to try to rebuild this wall, and all you do is complain. Does that sound familiar? Does that thought process sound familiar to you? This thought process of, listen, I'm trying to do the right thing here, and all I'm getting from you is X, Y, and Z. See, our natural response to something like this is to become a victim to whoever it is that's offering the resistance, especially, gentlemen, if it's your wife. And say, all I'm trying to do is be a good husband. All I'm trying to do is help our marriage. All I'm trying to do is take care of our family, provide for us, and all I get is this, this, and that. So you look here and you see that Nehemiah is getting this kind of resistance where the people, and it goes on to specifically say, and their wives have an outcry. Not against the enemies, but against people within. And they say, with our sons and our daughters, we are many. So let us get grain that we may eat and keep alive. And there were also those who said, we're mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses in order to get grain because of the famine. And there were more who said, we've borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards. Now our flesh is as the flesh of our brothers. Our children are as their children. Yet we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but it's not in our power to help it, for other men have our fields and our vineyards. So, basically, the people, God's people of Israel, are in bad shape. There's famine. They have had to mortgage everything they own. They have had to sell their children into slavery so that they could eat and put food on the table. And there's this outcry. There's this outrage of the people and their wives basically saying, listen, our needs aren't being met here. Listen, what you're doing in building the wall is all fine and dandy. That's wonderful. But we can't eat, and we're not going to be able to live to enjoy this beautiful wall, and our kids are slaves. See, if I'm Nehemiah, I might start to doubt and be like, holy crap, these people are right. What am I doing? What am I doing building a wall when the people that the wall is for can't even put food on their table? What am I doing building a wall when the people that the wall is for don't even have their kids living at home anymore because they're slaves? See, how easy is it when somebody, especially those close to us, the people and their wives, maybe when your wife who's close to you rises up and says, hey, I'm hurting here. Even in the middle of you going after the mission that you believe God has put on you to do. The wrong response would be to get offended and take it personally. And yet that's what we do. The wrong response from Nehemiah here would be to get offended, take it personally, and be like, well, you know what? Can't you see how hard I'm working? Can't you let me finish the wall and then we can solve your problem? How about a thank you? Don't you notice what I'm doing? Don't you notice what a good man I am? Don't you notice what a leader I am? Translate into your language, my language. Don't you notice what a good husband I am? Do you know how many people would be, how many women would be thankful to have me as a husband? And we take it personally. See, gentlemen, when you enter into your mission, whatever that looks like for the stage of life that you're on right now, but let's just call the overarching mission of becoming like Jesus, of finally becoming love, of walking in kingdom authority and power every minute of the day in your home, at your job, wherever. When you get on that mission, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden everybody likes you. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden there is peace and harmony. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. I came to set family member against family member. So we have to get used to the idea that us being on mission will probably stir up some hornet's nests. And if we take it personally, when somebody speaks against us, when somebody says, hey, I still have pain, hey, my needs aren't being met, instead of taking it personally, getting offended, and withdrawing from the battle, we need to stay strong, stay on our mission, and be a safe place. My wife gave me this metaphor that has stuck with me for however many years. Years ago, she said, Matt, what I need from you is for you to be like a harbor, like a harbor that's, you know, that's built out of all those big, huge boulders, the jetties going out into the water. And so there's this harbor that's encircling, or these jetties that are encircling a harbor, where within those jetties, inside, the boats are safe. Inside, there's not a whole lot of storm that can happen that can damage those things. And she was saying, Matt, I need you to be like that harbor so that inside of that, I can be safe to sail across from one side to the other. I can be safe to bump against the rocks from time to time so that I can be safe to be me within your safety. It's like what we've talked about before on the podcast in Mark chapter 4, where Jesus tells this parable that the kingdom is like a mustard seed, and it starts out small, but when it has grown, it becomes the biggest tree in the garden, and it becomes a place where the birds of the air can come and make their nests. And that's what we need to be. See, we get on our mission like that mustard seed of saying, I will become this tree. And we stand so strong that we can field the people around us. We can field their emotions. We can field their problems. We can even listen to their own accusations against us and not let it get in there and create bitterness, create hurt, make us butt hurt. We can be safe. See, here Nehemiah, instead of any of the taking anything personally and saying, oh man, what's wrong with these people? I think he understands. I think what's actually going on in this kind of situation, when you, sir, start to change yourself, when you start to become strong, when you start to become a kingdom man and you grow up out of boyhood into manhood, that's like building this wall that Nehemiah is building. You're creating a safe zone where now we can actually get down to brass tacks. When you start becoming safe, now the crap can come out. Now the crap can hit the fan, which is going to have to happen somehow. If you want things healed in your life that have been broken, the crap's going to have to hit the fan. But it's up to you whether that's going to be disastrous or just part of the process. So I think what's happening here is that Nehemiah is building this wall and these people realize, oh, finally, there's a safe place where I can take my problems. Finally, there's someone I can go to. And this toxic sludge that's been destroying the fabric of my life up until now can get exposed and addressed and restored. See, the rebuilding of the wall paves the way for the healing of everything else inside of it. And I'm sorry, but too often we want everything else to dissipate and go away. We want all those problems to leave us alone so that we can have peace in building the wall, and it just might not happen. Jesus didn't wait for peace before he came down to the earth to rebuild the wall. He got down in it in the middle of all the ongoing problems, and he started building no matter what people around him said. And it pushed people away, and it drew others to him, and he didn't control either way. Same with you, sir. You figure out what your God-given mission is, what wall you need to rebuild is in your life, in your marriage, wherever it is. And you can't control whether that's going to push away people around you, including your wife, or draw them to you. You cannot control it. But I tell you, you want the best shot at health in your relationships, in your marriage? This is the path. You become strong on your mission. And then when there's resistance, and then when there is more problems, your wife says, my needs aren't being met. I'm so hurting. Then instead of you saying, gosh, nothing's ever good enough for her, you're able to say, you know what? Her needs, her problems, they're not about me. They're about things she's going through. Yeah, she might be saying them to me. Yeah, she might be involving me in them. But really, her pain is hers. And maybe I've caused it in the past. Maybe I caused it yesterday. But her speaking to me in this way does not comment on my value as a man. And if we can remove ourselves from the threat that somebody having an issue even if that's an issue with us, if we can remove ourselves from the threat of that thing, then we can field it in strength. We can apologize for what we need to apologize for, but no more. And we can then, like Nehemiah does, this wasn't his fault. And yet he takes responsibility to fix it. Maybe you say, you know what? I don't get it. I've been being such a good husband. This stuff that she's bringing up right now, this isn't my fault. Okay. Great. Good. That's wonderful. Let's agree on that. But can you take responsibility to be the solution, to bring the healing? Not that you have to take responsibility for her problems. Not that you have to take responsibility for the things that only she can address. But you can say, you know what? As a man in this situation, I will be a solution. And Nehemiah says, I was very angry when I heard their outcry in these words. Not at them. He wasn't angry at the people who had these problems. He was angry at what had happened. He is angry at who had inflicted the problems. You want to get angry? It's time to get angry at your enemy. It's time to get angry at Satan, who's wreaking havoc in the world. It's time to be infuriated that he's had his way for so long. And it's time to do something about it. So he gets angry. And he took counsel with himself. He says, I took counsel with myself and I brought charges against the nobles and the officials. And I said to them, you're exacting interest, each from his brother. And I held a great assembly against them. And I said to them, we, as far as we are able, have bought back our Jewish brothers who have been sold to the nations. But you even sell your brothers that they may be sold to us. I said, the thing that you're doing is not good. You should walk in the fear of our God to prevent the taunts of the nations, our enemies. See, Nehemiah wasn't so overly concerned with himself. He wasn't so obsessed with himself that every problem everybody had meant something about him. He was able to be healthily, emotionally detached. I'm not talking about being detached and distant and aloof and totally inaccessible. He clearly was accessible. The people came to him and he was a safe place for them and he addressed their issues. But emotionally detached, meaning, hey, listen, the problems going on around me, they don't actually have anything to do with my well-being, with who I am as a man. They don't have anything to do with my identity. They don't have anything to do with my worth. And they are not the measure of my performance. Like, there are so many of us, you guys, where we can have somebody who's somewhat distant from us say something and we can shrug it off. Like, that was weird. That guy's a jerk, and move on. But when somebody close to us says something, it sinks in. It hurts. We get incensed. We want justice. We want them to feel bad. We want them to know what they've done. I would suggest, yeah, the problem is with that other person, sure. But I would suggest the bigger problem is with us. That we allow ourselves to be so hurt. We allow ourselves to get butt hurt. We somehow give people illegitimate access to our souls. We can be strong, you guys. when we're in Jesus, he sets us free so that when somebody close to us brings up a thing, when our wife brings up a thing, when she expresses her hurt and her pain, we can respond in strength. And instead of saying, you know what? I'm so tired of X, Y, and Z. We can say, you know what? I hear your pain. And I'm sorry for it. Sorry for how I've hurt you in the past. But I guarantee you, I'm not that same man. I guarantee you, I am not continuing on that path. And you might be hurting by something going on right now. And I want to hear that. And I want for you to know that my intention is for your good and our family's good. And I'm still learning what that looks like. And I'm probably not very good at meeting all of your needs. You don't have to say this, but your attitude can be, but you're still darn lucky to have me as a husband. See, as we get on our mission and we rebuild the wall, we got to be ready for everybody who has not yet joined the mission, who has not yet started rebuilding their own walls. We got to be ready. We got to be ready to start receiving some flack. And it's up to you if you're going to be a boy about it and get hurt because things aren't going your way, because your problems just won't seem to go away, or you could be a man about it. Or if you're somewhere in between, you're like, well, I want to be a man about it. I don't know exactly what that means, how that looks. Then you can say, God, I don't really know how to respond here, but what I do know is that I don't want to let this thing steal my countenance, because in the kingdom, my inheritance is joy, is peace. My inheritance is confidence. And I may not feel any of those things right now, but I thank you that that's the man I am. And you're going to teach me how to figure this thing out. So here we go. Thank you, gentlemen. This has been another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast. If you want to find out more, you can head over to manwarriorking.com. You can click the link in the notes here if you want to grab the DNA of a Man book. Bless you, brothers. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.